Amen. Boy, so good to see y'all this evening. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. What a tremendous blessing. We're going to have a special time of prayer later, Brother Brian, if you can make sure I don't forget that. That would be a blessing. You know, just a couple of things. We also have communion this Sunday. That's exciting. The men's meeting Tuesday night was a grand slam. I don't know, 28, 30 men, it seemed. A lot of men were there. Great spirit. Women's Bible study. Man, incredible what God's doing there. Morning, evening, Thursday night. You know, I know they're getting ready to start the book of Ephesians. Several women, new women are wanting to come. And so just putting that out there. Now's a great time to jump in if you want to. You know, be praying about the giving that God has laid on our hearts up until Easter. You know, that God will provide. We need a sanctuary. Amen. We need space. We're looking to the Lord to provide that. And we believe He's going to. A lot of moving parts behind the scenes, but just want to make you aware of that. Also, keep this in your prayers. May the 25th is going to be an exciting Sunday. We are going to have, I don't know if you've ever heard of Sidewalk Prophets. They are a band, a Christian band, travel all over the world. They have several number one hits on the radio. They're going to be with us Sunday morning doing just a couple worship songs, but they're going to put on a concert Sunday night. And so we've got a lot of information about that that's going to be in the bulletin. And so for Sunday night, though, because our space is so limited, you have to buy a ticket to be able to attend. And they're going to be promoting it on their website and all over the place. We're going to be promoting it. But obviously, we want our church family here first, right? And so, you know, if you plan to come, get on there. The information will be at the in the bulletin Sunday. Get on there and go ahead and buy your ticket because it's going to sell out very quickly. They're very popular. We're going to try to fit maybe 450 seats next door for Sunday evening. Whatever we can get, I guarantee it's going to totally sell out. It'll be an awesome, awesome evening. Well, let's just stand together. Let's worship a little bit. Can we do that? You want to sing to the Lord a little? Boy, He is good. He's worthy of our worship. We did this song a few weeks ago. I'd love for you to sing it with me. You're welcome here, the welcome song.
Of peace, your children dance for you. We lift this song to you. This is our deepest heart cry. It's to you we long to see open hearts burn for you. Amen. May our hearts burn, outstretched hands. See, come and walk, come and dwell with me.
lift that up.
You're welcome.
I'll sing it, church.
You're welcome here, mighty God. I'll always sing to you. You are welcome here. You're welcome here. You're welcome here, mighty God.
He's so good. Oh, he does deserve a hand. Amen. It's an old song, Marvelous Light. We'll learn it if you hadn't heard it. It's a great song. It's the sermon tonight in a song, okay? Should be your testimony tonight.
Light, I'm running out of darkness, out of shame. By the cross, you are the truth, you are the life, you are the way. I once was fatherless, a stranger with no hope. Your kindness awakened me. Your love, it beckoned deeply, a call to come and die. By grace now I will come, take this life, take your life. Sin has lost its power, and death has lost its sting, and from the victoriously in the marvelous light, I'm running out of darkness, out of shame. By the cross, you are the truth, you are the life, you are the way. My dead heart now is beating, my deepest stains now clean. Your breath fills up my lungs, now I'm free, now I'm free. Let's sing it again. My dead heart now is beating, my deepest stains now clean. Your breath fills up my lungs, now I'm free. Sin has lost its power, death has lost its sting. Come on, church. And from the grave you've risen victoriously. In the marvelous light I'm running out of darkness, out of shame. By the cross you are the truth, you are the
it again. My dead heart,
my dead heart now is beating, my deepest stains now clean. It fills up my lungs, now I'm free, now I'm free.
Come on, church.
My dead heart now is beating, my deepest stains now clean. Your breath fills up my lungs. Now I'm free. Now I'm free. And sin has lost its power. Death has lost its sting. From the grave you've risen victoriously. Into marvelous light I'm running. Out of shame, by the cross you are the truth.
Amen. That's what he does. He is good. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you for worshiping with us tonight a little bit. You know, I got to see that today. I'll explain more as we go through this, but I got to explain to a man what Jesus Christ will do with his sin. He laid in his hospital bed and told me how desperate he was for forgiveness, how desperate he was to live a different life. It's just amazing how God works, you know. You and I have the greatest message the world is yet to hear. The greatest message. Jesus Christ can set us free, cleanse us of our sin, set us free from our past. Who you were yesterday and the years prior does not have to define who you are today. It does not have to define your future. Just as we just sang, man, he breaks us free from that. Amen. That dead heart starts beating and he gives life. We're in Philippians chapter 2 tonight, and we're going to look at three verses, verses 16 to 14. And I don't know about you, but I think we have a whole lot to be thankful for. Amen. I mean, really, a lot to be thankful for. And yet, why do I hear so many Christian people belly aching? It should have been the 11th commandment of the Bible. Thou shalt not bellyache. It is a poor testimony of what Jesus Christ can do in a heart and a life. And also, you are living beneath your privileges when you are walking around as a complainer. Satan would love to get your heart and mind focused on complaining. And you know, Paul is telling the church here right up front, it's not a good testimony. This is not what the follower of Jesus should do. And look at verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Can you say amen? Amen. 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 That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault. Now watch this. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I've not run in vain or labored in vain. Now, I'd love for you to jot a verse down there, 1 Corinthians 15:58. If you think the Christian life is in vain, go read that verse. What you do for Jesus Christ is going to last, and what you do for Christ is going to far outlive you. Amen? It's never going to come back void, ever. I love this in Matthew 5, and give you a couple verses, and then we'll dive into the Philippians 2 text that we just read. But Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16 says, you are the light of the world. Come on now, own it. And you know what? When you leave from here as a light bearer, you're going to go into some dark places. They need the light. You are to be a city that is set up on a hill, Matthew 5, that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. Don't you love it? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let me tell you something. There's nothing that distinguishes the light like complaining and bellyaching. Seriously. Yeah. Who wants to be drawn to that? I mean, we've got an opportunity to promote Jesus everywhere we go. And yet so many people are complaining and bellyaching. And yet Paul tells us in verse 15 that we're to go shine as lights. You know what that means in the Greek? It means that if you look up on a clear night and you'll see the stars shining in the sky, that's what you're to be. You're to be like one of those stars shining in the sky. Daniel talked about it in chapter 12 in verse 3 when he said this, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. If you're wise, you won't put the light under a basket. If you're wise, you'll let it shine. And then he went on to say, and those who turn many to righteousness will be like the stars forever and ever and ever. It's kind of exactly what Paul is telling us here in verse 15. We are to shine. We are to be like a star in the darkness of the sky. And let me tell you something, folks. It's only Jesus Christ in us that can allow us to do that. It's not you. It's not me. It's Christ. You don't have to worry about opening up your mouth and what you're going to say. You just open up your mouth and Jesus will say it through you. Amen. If you're walking with him, he will speak. He'll work through your heart. And so let's look at our text. We are to shine. We are to shine. And number one here, I'd love for you to jot this down: in a dark world. Now, I don't mean to be gloom and doom here, and Paul's certainly not meaning to be, but you know what? We do live in a dark world, and the darker the world gets, the brighter the light can shine. Amen? In verse 15, he said this: shine as lights in the world. Now, let's just go to a dark place for a moment. I mean, we know the Bible says that the world is a place of darkness. Give you some verses. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. How many of you argued with your spouse on the way here? They're not where your battle's at. You know? How about with your children? How about with your children? You know? Let me just tell you, look at this. You don't wrestle against flesh and blood. This is a spiritual battle that we're talking about. But here's what we do wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Wow. Acts 26 verse 18 says to open up their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of their sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Isn't that a great verse? Acts 26 verse 18. Jot that one down. That's what we want to see God do. Amen. Wherever we go, we are deliverers. We are rescuers. You know what I mean? I often see police get different benefits, and they should. Firemen get different benefits, and they should. But what about the preacher of the gospel? They should get the greatest benefits. Look, we may not be delivering from cancer or healing a tumor, but let me tell you something. We are deliverers of the greatest darkness known to man. And we have the greatest message that the world has ever heard, and that is Jesus Christ. Not only do we live in a world of darkness, but even worse, we live in a world that loves the darkness. Like a bunch of cockroaches, man, they love it. And many times when the light comes on, they want to flee from it. Let me give you a verse. John 3 verse 19 says, and this is the condemnation. Watch this. That the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. I remember going into a room not so long ago in a hospital, and there was a lady sitting in the window and a man laying in the bed that had overdosed on drugs. And I began to share Christ with this man. The woman sitting in the window, immediately, before I even began to talk, she got up and stormed out of the room. The man was laying in the bed. I don't know why she left. What in the world is going on? He was so confused. I was confused. I got out to the car, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, she's offended at what you brought into the room, which is me. It's not you. It's me in you. The demonic spirit in her could not stand in the presence of Jesus Christ. In other words, his spirit in me, right? Not me at all. Nothing to do with me. Everything to do with him. And that demon didn't like it. You know, the Bible says that men love darkness because their deeds are evil. They love the darkness. And I want you to notice how this darkness is manifested. How it manifests itself. Philippians 2 and verse 15, you got your Bible open there. I want you to notice two words, the word crooked and the word perverse. Let's talk about them for a moment. Letter A, a depraved world. We live in a depraved world. That's what this word crooked means. It means to be bent. It's kind of like scoliosis. That's where we get this word crooked from. We get the word scoliosis from this Greek word that we find here in the text, and it means a curvature of the spine. Obviously, that's what scoliosis means. This word crooked simply means something that's not straight. Here it is speaking of the activities of this world. The world's activities are not right in the eyes of God. They're not straight. this world is characterized by a lifestyle that's crooked. It's crooked. It's evil. Let me read some real facts to you, okay? Since 1960 in the United States, how many of you were born before the year 1960? A few of you. Wow. Wonderful. I didn't know some of you were born before 1960. Wow. You look so young, so vibrant. Look at the life on your faces. Well, let me tell you what's happened in your lifetime. Can I tell you what's happened in your lifetime? Now, I was born in 1976, and so I've been a part of this as well. 560% increase in violent crime since 1960. More than a 400 increase in illegitimate births since 1960. A quadrupling in divorce, a tripling of the percentage of children living in single-parent homes. More than a 200% increase in teenage suicide. Hey, look at me for a moment. I guarantee you, I don't know if you saw the teenagers coming in tonight, but there were teenagers pouring into this place tonight. They're having a special outreach tonight. We've been praying for weeks. I ask you to please pray. The gospel's going to be shared. The gospel's going to go out. I guarantee you there's a teenager over there right now thinking about ending their life. They need Christ. A 200% increase in suicide amongst teens. A drop of 75 points in the SAT score of high school students. And even though the United States has only 6% of the world's population, we have 80% of the divorces that take place in the world. We lead the world in rape. We lead the world in murder. And we lead the world in crime. Certainly under the former administration, and I don't apologize for saying it. When you belittle police officers and you take that kind of stand, you're only opening up the world for chaos, absolute chaos. More than 80% of the whiskey consumed in the world is consumed by Americans. Every single day in America, 2,795 teenagers get pregnant. Every single day in America, 1,106 teenage girls are going to have an abortion. Every day in America, 7,742 teenagers lose their virginity in America. Every single day in America, 600 teenagers attempt suicide. Every 26 seconds in America, a teenager runs away from home. Do you know what's behind all of this? Do you know what's behind all of it? We could say Satan, and certainly he thrives in all of it, but we better take some ownership in it as well. You see, behind all of these facts is a lifestyle without morals, a lifestyle without convictions, a lifestyle without principles, and a lifestyle without standards. Your teenagers and your grandkids are not going to know the truth unless you tell them. Tell them what the Bible says. Tell them. Because guess what? Everywhere around them, kids are losing their virginity and no one's telling them it's wrong. So guess what they're going to do? Everywhere. You know what? To live straight today, to live a clean lifestyle today, it's considered to be old-fashioned. Do you know that? The older I get, the more I look at our seniors in our church, and I just have absolute admiration for them. I am so thankful for them. But you know what? To have a high moral standard is considered to be old-fashioned, to be out of date. My son came home his junior year and his senior year at Franklin County High School and was telling his mom and I how students on his baseball team were given condoms by their moms and their dads. And my son spoke up and said, "Why would your mom or dad do that?" They said, "Well, they told us we were going to do it anyways, so we might as well have condoms to protect ourselves." You know what I did? I looked back at my son and I said, "Tell your mom and I what you think about that." He said, "You're only setting them up for failure when you do that." What in the world? I'll never forget Ashton's words. What in the world are their parents thinking? You see, we read all these statistics and we think to ourselves, Man, we have a bunch of teenagers that are messed up. No, no, no. I can say this now. I used to say it when I was a youth pastor, but I got in big trouble for it. But I can say it now, and I'm not a youth pastor. I'm a pastor of primarily adults. Let me tell you, we don't necessarily have as many messed up teenagers as we have messed up adults. Adults that don't know how to parent. Adults that don't know how to look at their teenagers and say, look, God first has called me to be your mom or to be your dad, not to be your friend. Amen. And so you know what? In my home, this is what we're going to do. In my home, we're going to church. In my home, we're going to live for Jesus Christ. In my home, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When you leave my home, it's up to you what you do. But when we live here, that's how we roll. All right? That's what we're going to do. All right, so we know it's a depraved world. Now, letter B, I want you to see it's a distorted world. It's a distorted world. Look at verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse. The word perverse here means a distorted world, a perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now, this word perverse, obviously it can mean perverted. It means twisted. It means distorted. It means warped. I think all these words give us a better understanding. The word crooked, listen to this. We looked at the word crooked already. It speaks of the world's activities. But this word right here, perverse, speaks of the world's attitudes. Their activities are crooked. Their attitudes are perverse. You see, when a society can get more upset over the shooting and killing of a spotted owl or cutting down of an old oak tree, more upset over that than the murder of babies, we've lost our way. We have a warped and distorted sense of morals and values. I was reading in George Barna's book called Baby Busters, and he refers to this generation that was born between 1965 and 1983. How many of you were born between that time? 1965 and 1983. Would you raise your hand? Look at you babies tonight, you know? Now watch this. He estimated of baby busters, which if you were born between 1965 and 1983, you were known as a baby buster. But watch this. He estimates that baby busters is around 67.9 million people, which would be 27.3% of the population, which is only second to baby boomers. How many of you are baby boomer, born between 1946 and 1964? Would you raise your hand? Okay. You're not much older than us, right? Not much older. You consist of 31.7% of the population. Watch this. Barna found that 37% of baby busters strongly agree that abortion is right, while only 24% of baby boomers believe that abortion, I'm sorry, let me say this, 37% of baby busters strongly agree that abortion is right, while only 24% strongly believe that abortion is wrong. We live in a messed up world. We are twisted. We are distorted. We have lost our way. And we look at what God says about abortion, and then we consider what the world thinks about abortion. It's just obvious that the values of this world have been completely distorted. We've lost our way. When a society thinks that homosexuality is nothing more than an alternative lifestyle, it's only revealing to us how warped our values and our morals have become. That's what we see, all right? When our society thinks for a moment that same-sex marriage should be recognized and honored by the rest of us, it's obvious that this world is perverted and distorted in its sense of morals. Come on now, we know it's true. I say this to simply make a point. The world is a dark place. It's a world that is depraved in its activities and distorted in its attitudes. Number two, I want you to see, we are to shine in this dark world. Listen to this. By a distinct walk. Come on now, amen. We are called out to be different. Christians are to walk distinctly. A walk that is clearly different. Let me just say this though. There are only two ways that a person can walk. You see, your walk is either going to hurt people or it's going to help people. Let's talk about this. Letter A, the walk that's hurtful. A walk that's hurtful. It's possible to live in such a way that instead of exerting the light, you are extinguishing it. You see, I think of Mahatma Gandhi. You ever heard his name? He was the famed leader of the Indian independence movement. The independence movement did not have just a handful of people. This was a massive movement of millions of people. And here is a statement that he made, and I quote. He said, I would be a Christian if it were not for other Christians. Did you hear that? You want to umph that? Let me give you something else to umph. Before I came to church here, I was in a church where I was so deeply hurt and wounded. I wanted out of the ministry. I went and applied for other jobs. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart one day and said, you didn't call you, I called you. Oh, praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. I've wanted to quit a whole lot since. I wanted to quit last week. That was my flesh. You know, your flesh, you can get hurt. I mean, I understand Mahatma Gandhi, you know. I mean, I see how so-called Christian people can treat other Christian people. And I'm so glad we have a Bible that is so clear about how we are to love one another and how we are to treat one another. And my mind often goes to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16 that says this, if you cannot love God in whom you don't see, how can you love the brethren in whom you do see? You can't. And you know what it goes on to tell us? That if you don't love the brethren, you don't know God. You don't know him. You don't know him. Let's look back at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing. What a charge. Come on now. Do it all without complaining and disputing. You ever get around people and all they want to do is complain? I guarantee you one day they'll have no friends unless they change their ways. Nobody wants to be around a complainer all the time. Draw up close. I want to tell you something. I either pray that the complainers in our church either get their heart right with God and start to brag on what God's doing here, or they leave and go somewhere else. I don't want to be around it. Do you? Huh? I mean, you end a service, next door you have seven people come to know Christ and you got somebody leave the service out on the parking lot complaining because the music wasn't right or this wasn't right or whatever, right? Take that somewhere else. I love you, but go bless someone else with it. Brian Anderson, you had a great teaching on that last night. So powerful, so good. And I think at the end of what you said, you basically said that was so demonic. And we as leaders in the church and people in the church that love our church, we need to be warding that kind of garbage out of here, right? That's what we need to do. Look at this. Do all things. I'm sorry. Got a little soapbox there. Back to the Word of God. Hey, I love my church. It's the Lord's church, but it's my church, and I love it. And I love the people. Thank you. I love the people. And I want to tell you something. I want to protect the people. And beyond the shadow of a doubt, I know this, that as we are in the latter days, let me tell you what's going to happen. Even the very elect are going to be drawn away from the Word of God through fables and tales and things that people say. Even the very elect are going to be drawn away. Wow, that's sobering. We are to do what we do without complaining. Now watch this. You know, the word complaining was used in reference to cooing doves. I don't even know what that means. That's just what I read. I don't go out and coo doves. What does that even mean? Come here, Dove. Come here, Dove. Come on, Diane, you say it. That might work. Diane's got that high voice. Coo, coo. But you know what the word came to mean was this: grumbling, complaining, and the muttering of an individual. It describes someone that, watch this, in the Greek text, all right, I'm just telling you what it means in the Greek. It describes someone that's never satisfied and always complaining. Can I be honest with you about something that I'm starting to catch on to as a pastor? Whenever someone comes and they want to join the church, you know, one question that I somehow work in and figure out, how long were you at your former church? A year? Okay. How long were you there at the church before the former church? 3 years? Okay. How about before that one? You know? And if there's a pattern of, I'm here a year, I'm here 3 years, I'm there. Guess what? They're going to wear out their tenure here as well. There's something wrong, right? And this is what Paul is talking about, this attitude of complaining and muttering. You know what we ought to do as a family of God? Lock arms together like we truly are brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know what? We're not going to always get along. We're not going to always see eye to eye. But we got to lock arms, dig in, and go at this thing together. Amen. I don't want my way. I want the way of Jesus Christ. And I pray that's what you want. And in the process of seeking Him, He's going to reveal Himself, and together we can chase after it. Amen? Let me tell you, the people that typically complain are the ones that do nothing. They sit back with all kinds of lavish ideas, and they look critically at what you do and what I do. I'm just being honest with you. And they critique it, and they nitpick it. I had a guy came to me, he said, I want to have lunch with you. I took him to lunch. I took 45 minutes to hear of his great ideas. They were great ideas. And I looked back at him, I said, which one do you want to head up? You got some great ideas. Which one of those do you want to do? You know what he said to me? He said, oh, well, yeah. Oh, no, wait, it's coming. He said, you know what? I'm just an ideas guy. I come up with the good ideas. You know what I told myself? You won't be here very long. Because ideas guys always get critical of what everybody else is doing while you're setting and warming your hands. God hasn't called us to be idea guys. But He's also not called us to be grumblers and complainers. And one of the greatest ways that we can avoid being a grumbler and a complainer, which nobody likes, is to get our hands dirty. Serve the Lord. Pour our heart out for Him. Notice the word disputing found in verse 14. It speaks of someone who is doubtful, someone who's argumentative, and someone who loves to debate. You know what? I don't like to do any of those. I don't think you do either. I hate arguing. And you know what? I don't like to debate. Because you know what? Typically when you debate, their mind's already made up. Right? The question I find myself asking, if I'm wrong, do I want to know it? Come on now. And a lot of times when I get to debating with someone, I look at them and I say, look, I'm not a debater. But let me just ask you a question. If you are wrong on something, do you want to know it? Most of the time they'll say one of two things. Number one, yes, I agree with you. I want to know it, but they really don't. Number two, they'll just clearly say, I'm not wrong. Right? Nobody likes to be around people who are grumbling and complaining. Can you mark it down? Look at me for a moment. I don't like to be around it either. I hate to be around that. And you know, so many times we can't help but be around it. And what do? We love, we pray with, we pray for, we try to encourage. But how many of you have been doing that in the life of someone and you walk away so exhausted, right? Like, I know this looks bad, but look at this. I know this seems bad, but look at this angle. It doesn't matter what you say. They're not going to see any of it. And we got to keep praying. And we got to keep loving. But let me say this. The point is, our behavior can be hurtful. And hurtful to people who are listening. Hurtful to the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look, if you hurt the name of this church, you're hurting His name. Let's not make this Christian living life about Lighthouse. Let's make it about Jesus Christ. It's His name that's at stake. Come on now, right? And you know what? If we're this way, we are hurtful. If we want to complain and bellyache all the time, we're hurtful to the name of the Lord. It's going to be hurtful to your marriage. It's going to be hurtful to your children. It's going to be hurtful to the people that brush up against your life. It's going to be hurtful to your family. It's going to hurt a lot of people if you live in the world of sin, everything in at a negative angle. And let me tell you who it's going to hurt the most. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you. I don't want you to live in that kind of hurt. You know what? There are a lot of people going to hell because of people who walk around claiming to go to heaven. And yet they complain and they bellyache. And it hurts the work of Christ. So, you know what? We can walk in a way that's hurtful. Or letter B, we can walk in a way that's helpful. Watch this. Verse 15. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Watch this. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now, you got to hear this. Look at these two words. The Bible tells us that we are to be blameless and we're to be harmless. Now, what's this word blameless mean? Let me tell you. Thank God it doesn't mean sinless and perfection. How many of you in this room are sinless and perfect? Not one? Come on, Everett. Let me tell you what this word blameless means. It means faultless. Let me explain. It describes a person that cannot be blamed. Let's dive into this for a moment till we get it. Blamed means to be considered responsible. Here it is. I think we all can understand this definition. I should have said it right out of the gate. It's someone who lives above reproach. Blameless. You know, I know you may disagree with me, but one of the elder ladies in our church, this was about 3 years ago, okay? But it just popped into my mind just now. She called me on the phone and she was broken down out on Williamson Road. And she said, hey, you know, can you come and give me a ride home? I was the only one here at the time. And I said, I'm so sorry, but I can't come and give you a ride home. What do you mean? You're at the church, aren't you? Yes. Why can't you come and give me a ride home? I said, ma'am, because I don't get in the car with any other woman alone. I can't do it. And I'm sorry your situation's so bad. I will get off the phone with you and I will call someone and we'll figure out how to get you a ride. You know what? We have to live above reproach. We have to be very careful. Oh man, God has been showing me this even more lately. Be very careful the situations that you put yourself in, even among who you think are good people. Be careful. Pray for discernment. Titus 1 and verse 6 says that we are to be living blameless. You know, reproach without reproach means beyond one's criticism. We are to be above the criticism. We are to live in such a way that someone cannot tag us with something and prove it. You might say that about me, but I didn't do it, and you can't prove it. We're to live that way. Be very careful and live that way. You know what? It also describes someone who's not on the inside what they profess to be on the outside. You're going to notice in this verse, it says live without rebuke. Did you see that? I mean, we're to live in such a way that our behavior should be above criticism. It's not saying here perfect life, but a life that nobody can point a finger to and say something that is going to allude to the fact that maybe you're a hypocrite. In other words, we're to be the real deal. And let me say this, at the end of the day, if truly God is who we have lived for and pleased, then it really doesn't matter who we've displeased. Right? Romans 12 and verse 17, watch this. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. The Bible's describing here a distinct lifestyle, one that is in contrast to the way that the world lives and the way that the world operates. It's a life, watch this, that is different, a life that is devout, and a life that is distinct. Amen? Mark Twain once said this, and I love it. He said, I quote, always do right. It will gratify some people and astonish the rest. Isn't that great? Always do the right thing. You know what? We should live a life that will astonish this dark, depraved world. We're to live a life that is without rebuke, a life that is blameless, a life that is harmless. As someone has said, people may doubt what you say, but they'll always believe what you do. Isn't that good? They may doubt what you say, but they will always believe what you do. In other words, I've heard it put this way. I'd rather see a sermon than hear a sermon. Amen. Right? Live out. Live it out. I'd rather one walk with me than merely just show me the way. Right? It's kind of like going into the plumbing department. This is what my mind goes to. You know, you walk in, you say, hey, I'm looking for a 3/4 inch elbow that'll fit such and such. And, you know, and you look at the guy. He says, oh, I'm the plumbing guy. You know, the plumbing aisle's aisle 13. Just go down to the end. It's going to be down near the end cap. You go down aisle 13, you come to the end and you look and you're like, I'm near the end cap. There are 1,000 different things that say 3/4 inch elbow. Right? Like, I have no idea. I would rather him come and show me what he's talking about. Does that make sense? Yeah. And you know what, dear friend, look, all of these folks that have come to know Christ, Brian, how cool it is, like the men's group, the women's group. Roxanne, last night, I know, shared with me that she shared the gospel with all of the ladies that were here. How many of you ladies were here last night at that Bible study? Wow. So then you heard it. And the gospel went out. Did you know this? The average person, before they respond to the gospel, has to hear the gospel 7 times. Many times we're going to share the gospel and you're not going to see people come to Christ. But what you are doing is sowing seed. You're walking them to that point. And you never know what God is going to use from what you say and how God is going to work in someone's heart and how you say it. But you know what? Oh, dear friend, may people look at you and may people look at me and may what they see be defined by a lifestyle who seeks after the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Look, let me say this again. What you did yesterday and in the past does not have to define what you do today and in the future. The testimony of your life 5 years ago or even a year ago does not have to define the rest of your life. Not when Jesus Christ becomes your Lord and your Savior. Let me give you number 3 here. We are to shine forth the divine word of God. The divine word. Look at verse 16. Holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. You know, these two words, holding fast, it means to present something. To present something. We are to present the word of the living God to this dark world that we live in. We are to present it, not just in how we live, but in what we say. our character. Let me give you this, letter A. This is a word that introduces life. Hey, the Word of God brings life. Amen? The world thinks they're really living. They think that pleasure, possession, popularity, and promotion is what life is all about. The problem with all of it is the wells of every one of them is going to run dry. I heard about a violinist playing in an orchestra, and he kept sawing away at one string. Afterwards, the conductor, I love this, came up to him and said this, "That's not the way you play a violin. You got to run your fingers up and down the strings like everyone else." He looked back at the instructor. He said, "Oh no, those fellas are looking for the right note. I've already found it." I want to tell you this. There are a lot of people looking for the right note to make life sound good and feel good and look good and be good. I found the right note. His name is Jesus Christ. Paul says, holding fast the word of life. We are to hold out to folks the word of the living God, exhibiting its power, exhibiting its influence in the example of our life, in the conversations that we have. We are to introduce to other people the word of God. Now, look, I want to tell you something, and I don't know if you will believe me or not, but it's what happened. I was brushing my teeth this morning, and I started praying for a man. I knew I needed to go see this man. I wanted to go see him last night. I felt like I needed to go see him last night, and the Lord, it just wasn't the timing of the Lord. That was me thinking, I got to go. Been praying for this guy. He had surgery. He was in the hospital. But then the Holy Spirit just kept, no, go to the men's group. I'm going to the men's group. Well, this morning I get up and he's on my mind and I'm brushing my teeth. And I'm not kidding you. Here's what the Lord spoke to my heart, as clear as you can hear my voice. He said, I want you to go to the hospital today. That man's going to come to know who I am. And I'm going to raise him up to do some great things. Amen. Okay. Well, I went to the hospital today, walked into the room, and there was that man laying in the bed wide awake. No one else was in the room. No family, no nurses, no doctors. And I went over and I started talking to this man. Been praying for this man for at least 8 years. Hard man. Living for the world. When I walked in, he started smiling at me. He said, I can't believe you come see me. I looked at him, I said, well, I can't believe you endured my preaching for the last 2 weeks. He was here last two Sundays. We kind of laughed a little bit. And as we talked, here's what he told me. He said, Pastor Jay, I want to live a different life. I don't want to live what I've been living. He said, man, I got kids, I got grandkids, I got 13 granddaughters, I got 5 grandbaby boys, and my children. He said, I don't want to live like I've been living. He said, when I get out of here, I'm going to live different. I said, no, you won't. He said, huh? I looked at him, I said, you can't live different. I said, you want to, but I said, guess what? You won't. He said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, the Apostle Paul in the Bible said the exact same thing. Why do I do what I don't want to do? I don't want to do these things, but I go and do them. He said, that's exactly how I've been living. Those exact words describe my life. I don't want to do these things, but I do them. I said, you need a helper. He said, well, who's going to help me? I said, only the Holy Spirit of the living God. And by the way, in case you don't know, the Bible calls the Holy Spirit the helper. the helper will come and live inside of you, change your life, and help you live different. But not only that, he will forgive you of all of your sin. He will cleanse you of your past. You will walk out of this hospital not just with a new neck, but a new story. You'll have a new God. And you know what? Let me tell you, you've never been able to pray and talk to God. But you know what? You can through Jesus Christ. I'm just going to tell you, the Holy Spirit, I could feel it, came down in that room. I could feel his presence all in that room. I could feel him everywhere in that room, and I could feel him speaking and moving and working. And that man looked at me and he said, "That's what I want. I want Jesus." I looked at him. I said, "He's already been working in your life. Why'd you come to church the last 2 or 3 weeks? Don't tell me God's not been working in your life. He's been speaking to you. He's been drawing you. And today he's calling you out of your sin and out of your old life. And I'm sitting here today to ask you, will you say yes to him?" He said, "Yes." Oh, listen, I grabbed that man by his hands and we went to the Lord, and I said to this to him, I said, "You make this," after I shared a bunch of scripture with him, I said, "This is what we're going to pray, these scriptures." And I grabbed him by the hand and we started praying. And you know what he started doing? He said, "Oh God," all on his own, "Oh God, forgive me. Oh God, I've sinned against you. Oh God, I need to be saved." He would repeat what I said, and then he would say something else in addition to it. "Oh God, how I need you. Oh God, I need you to save me. Oh God, will you change me?" We said, "Amen." I looked at him and he looked at me. He said, "You have no idea the weight that has been removed." He said, "You have no idea." And he said, "Pastor, I'll see you Sunday." I leave the hospital room from the 9th floor down to the lobby. Man, those elevators were every single floor. I get out of the hospital, and I'm just telling you, man, the hair standing up on my arms. I'm serious. I don't judge the Holy Spirit by the hair standing up on my arms, but the Holy Spirit was up in that place. I just know God was all over that place. I left the hospital elevator. Oh, listen, we're talking here about introducing people to the Word of God and life. I rounded the corner and I was a man on a mission. I had a 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and I had stuff in between. I got to get to work. And I texted my wife on the elevator. "You won't believe who just received Christ." And I told her. But I looked at my phone while I was walking and that green bar wasn't moving. And I thought, she ain't got the message yet. And I keep walking. I'm a man on a mission. Let me get there. Let me go. Let's go. And I hear Pastor Jay. I turn around and look, and guess who's standing there? The guy that just came to Christ, his son was standing there, and his daughter-in-law, Chris Fitzgerald and Ashley Fitzgerald. His dad received Christ today. Come on now. Jesus, the power of the Word of God to set sinners free of a lifestyle of mistakes. Oh, the Word is so powerful. My words couldn't win a man to Christ. My words will never convict a man. My words will never lead a man to Jesus. But his Word, may we read it. May we know it. May we live it. May we spread it. Amen. Look at letter B here. This is a word. Oh, this gets so good. Not only does it introduce life, but it imparts life. The Bible will tell you where you can find life. It'll tell you where your life is at. You do know this. You don't read the Bible. The Bible reads you. You open up the Bible and it's going to tell you where you've been, where you are, and where you need to go. The Bible is alive. It's powerful. It's the Word of God. And praise God for this. None of us could have eternal life without the Word of God. Amen? This is what you and I have. Look, you've got it. You've got the Bible. The gospel dynamite to blow the sin out of anybody's life is in your hands, your possession. I grew up as a kid watching Superman. That kryptonite. That green stuff was his only weakness. The enemy could only defeat him with kryptonite. You and I can only overcome Satan and his schemes with the word of the living God. It cripples him. It's the light of Jesus Christ. This dark world needs it. Amen. This world needs it. It is the light. And you know what? You and I have it. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that light has come into your life. And you know what you and I are to be? Lantern carriers. What a privilege that God would call you to himself and that God would put his light into your life and entrust you to take it to the rest of the world. I feel like we need to pray right now. Because you know what? The gospel's being preached next door. Teenagers need to be saved. Young adults need to walk deeper with Christ. Can we just bow our heads and close our eyes right now and just go to our Lord in prayer and pray for those teenagers and pray for those young adults. Let's all of us right now together, all of us, lift our voices up to God in prayer and say, oh God, preach through Alex. Speak, oh God, to these teenagers and young people. You pray your heart. Would you do that just for a moment? Oh, God, save the lost, Lord. Oh, God, give him boldness. Speak, Lord. Speak. Move, Father. Tonight, just while we're praying, would you pray for some complaining Christian? Would you pray for some lost soul to come to know Christ? Would you pray for those co-workers right now? Would you plead with God over their soul? Would you plead with God? Oh God, save that which is lost. As John 6:44 says, God, you draw them. Only you can draw them. God, save that which is lost. Tonight, maybe you've been doing too much complaining and belly aching. Would you confess that? I know I can do that sometimes. Will you confess that? Forsake it. Receive what Paul wrote. That admonition to be an encourager, one who loves, one who's doing the work of God and not the work of Satan. Brother Keith, man, would you lead us in a word of prayer tonight? And Brother Everett, would you close us out in prayer? And anybody here tonight that wants to pray, you pray, and while we are praying, I'm going to invite my brother Waylon to come up. And just sit here. And the elders and deacons and any and all who want to come. We're just going to lay hands on our brother here that has received Christ, been baptized, and needs the strength and healing of God upon his physical body. So, Brother Keith, would you start us off in prayer?
Yes, somebody.
And in the midst of all this, we're going to pray for Waylon and Brother Everett to close us.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for such great people here, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the sermon we had, or the preacher we had, Lord. Lord, thank you for blessing.
Yes, Father. You're so good, Lord. Father, may you have the power.
you'd Lord, only thank you down for waiting for me to strength to do battle in life, Lord. And I love you, Lord.
Oh,
Lord.
Yes. Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Yes.
I love you so much, Lord. And Father, yes, Lord. Right how much I love you, Lord. And
thank you. Thank you, Father.
Lord, just be like you did for me, be for everybody else. Look after everybody else with your love, Lord.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Please, Lord, just be there for us. We know where we can go any moment. I just want us all to be happy and get ready to be in with you for all eternity.
Yes, Father.
And thank you, Lord, for me. Become like a Christian.
Yeah. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord, so much.
Thank you, Father.
Being down for me, no, I don't deserve it at all.
Thank you, Father.
We love you.
Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, God. Mm. You're so
Lord,
good.
We thank you for your precious salvation.
Yes.
Lord, a gift beyond what we can even comprehend.
Oh, God, use
May
his
our
men
words
to pray,
be
Father.
With joy, salt,
May your Holy Spirit power fall upon this
Lord,
place.
Lord, help us,
tonight.
Just draw us
God,
to those who desperately
fall
need
on this place.
Yes.
Yes.
May
our living hearts and our lives, Father God,
the experiences
oh,
we share
God, God,
in
our prayers, Father.
Lord, we lift
God, we're nothing without you, Father.
Yes.
May your Holy Spirit fall on this place,
feel,
Father. Draw the lost to you, Father. May
yes.
Yes. Be saved. May lives be changed, Father.
Oh,
God, yes. Oh, God, work, Father.
And show them.
Oh, God, yes.
And if the parents can't do it, Lord,
yes.
Be the teachers.
Yes, God.
Yes,
yes,
that's
yes
right.
God. Christians yes, Lord.
Around them.
Yes,
yes Father.
It's not to be too busy to take time to encourage
yes,
the parents.
God.
Lord, we praise
yes.
you for what you've done, and we just pray
yes.
for healing for our brother.
Yes,
Lord,
right.
His body. I
yes,
yes, Father.
Yes.
Touch him, Lord.
Yes.
Father.
Healer.
Oh, God, yes, have your hand upon him.
Touch his body.
Yes.
God, move in a mighty way, Father. Yes.
And joy.
Only
and
you can do it, God.
That
Holy Spirit, fall on him and touch him, Father.
Special touch of the Holy
oh, God, yes.
Yes.
Only you can
Lord,
do it, Father.
We praise you and thank you for what you're doing in this room tonight.
Yes, Lord.
And for what you
work mightily, Father. Yes.
Only
you, Father. Only you can, Father. Give you all the glory, Father. So good. So good. Yes, Holy Father.
Jesus, I pray for each one here.
Yes, God.
Come on Sundays, all of those that
yes.
need to come on Sundays, Lord.
Yes, Father.
Move in their hearts, soften their hearts.
Yes, God.
Teenagers that are there, Lord.
Holy Father.
Lord, strengthen Alex.
Oh, God, work mightily, Father.
Touch that exact one that needs to.
Oh, God, you move.
Finally yield their
hearts. You do the work, Father. Oh, God, you do it, Father. Yes, Father. Yes, God.
That's right.
These bodies were made by you and for you. Right now, your hand will fall, and Lord, your will be done, and anything will happen. Lord, we trust you and we step out in faith.
Heavenly Father, you've healed his soul. And Lord,
yes.
I just pray that your will, you'll heal his body as well.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
That's right.
We just thank you for bringing Waylon in here and gracing us with his blessings and
yes.
what he brings. And to watch him the other week or 2 weeks ago when he come here to get baptized, Lord,
yes.
he wasn't staying home. No, sir. He
no,
wanted
sir.
To profess. And
yes.
Lord, we just thank you for getting
thank
him
you,
here.
Thank you, Father.
And
yes.
Lord, for bringing him to this church. And we
yes.
ask you to continue to save his souls that are searching for you, Lord. And we ask
yes, Lord
through
God.
Us, that through us, you use us to deliver your word.
Yes,
and
Father.
And we just thank you for calling Waylon way before we knew it.
Yes,
we just thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask that you heal this
yes,
body.
Yes, Father, yes.
I pray for Brother Alex next door. Pastor Alex yes. gives that word. And Lord, I pray you give the right word to touch those young souls.
Yes,
God. May they become saved and take it back to their households.
And call them,
we just love you. Thank you for this church, for all the brothers up here and sisters and brothers in the seats and those that can't be with us tonight. We love you, Jesus.
Oh, God, yes, Lord. Yes, Father.
Father, thank you for having such love and such a will and such ability for us.
Yes.
Lord, I lift up Waylon's wife here, Lord, and
yes.
be to her so very close, so very palpable. Lord, mm-hmm. you supply with her with all those things that you alone can give in such abundance that
yes,
provides
Lord.
Our imagination even more, the peace, the discernment,
yes,
the comfort,
Father.
The health, the clear-headedness, Lord.
Yes,
just
Lord.
The balm that she may need, Lord, anything she needs, Lord, you know.
Oh, God, yes.
Her most intimate need, Lord, and I don't know her. I've never met her before. I don't know what the needs are, but I trust you, Father, that you care for every minutia
yes.
of her, Lord. And
yes, oh God,
her,
yes.
Supply for
mightily, Father, mightily, Father, mightily, Father, work, God. Oh, yes, Father, work, God. Work mightily, Lord. Oh, Father. Oh, God, Father, abundance, oh, God.
Oh, precious Father.
Mm.
Oh, we love you.
Yes.
You're so good to us.
Yes. Lord, thank
Father,
you,
Father, we praise you for all you've done in our lives. Father, we once were in the darkness.
Yes.
And now we're in your light, Father. We
thank you, Lord.
To be light
thank
in
you.
This world.
Thank you, Father, yes.
Lord, anoint Alex, Father.
Mightily, Father, move. Mightily,
Holy
Father.
Spirit of God, move in a mighty,
oh,
mighty way.
Mightily, Father, you do it, God. Yes.
Lord, this world is dying. And Father, we need to give life to this world through you. Holy Spirit of God, fill us, anoint us for your service.
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, Father, thank you for our pastor. Lord, we love him.
Lord.
He tells us what we need to hear. Sometimes we don't want to hear it. But Father, we love him and his precious family. Father, keep his heart pure and clean.
Yes.
Father, let all these folks that are trying to discourage him, Lord, move them away from here, Father. We don't need them.
Yes.
Father, I pray that you'd move
heal
in a mighty way,
Father.
Lord. When Moses needed his hands lifted up, Father,
hearts,
let us lift his hands up to you.
God, thank
for
you,
the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon this place, Father. We want a building, Father. We want your building, not ours.
Yes. Amen.
And Father, we've been struggling and looking around, but Father, you know what you're going to give us, and we're thankful for it. Father, as we approach
you,
Easter,
Lord.
Father, help us to realize the importance
of
your awesome love, your death, your burial, your resurrection.
Yes. Oh,
we're
God.
At the right hand side of the Father, interceding for us.
Yes, Father.
Oh, what an amazing thing.
Yes, Father. Yes.
Father, God, as we pray, as we go our separate ways. Oh, Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you.
Thank you, Father.
For all you've done, what you're going to do.
Yeah. Yes, Lord.
Of course, in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, your Son and
Father,
our Savior.
My brother, Lord.
And all God's people say,
strengthen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Everybody.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen, church. Great to see y'all tonight and worship with y'all tonight. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. Hey, a couple things to pray about. I know Brother Shannon has been working hard to figure out a way to get all of our trees down on this lot out here. That's a big piece of us building a sanctuary and for the campus coming together. But you keep praying on that. Please pray on it. You got an update for us?
I spoke to him on the way in the driveway.
Oh, man.
If not this coming week, the next week. It's going to happen. It's going to happen soon. He'll be here 2 days and 3 days at the most. We'll have no trees.
Did you hear that? I couldn't tell you how many summers I've brought my chainsaw and my mowers and tried to open up the visual down in here. You know, it always wants to grow in. And boy, soon and very soon, Lord willing, there won't be any trees. Amen.
Amen.
Going to wipe them all out and, it's going to be beautiful. We'll wipe all that stuff out. What a blessing. And good news, also, electricity was hooked up to the little cottage out there this week and the lights are on And Lord willing, Saturday, it's going to receive carpet and the heating and air has been installed. And my wife, I think, is going to come put all the carpet down Saturday. And so... And anyways, oh me, just kidding. She's going to build the steps, but she could do it. But hey, you know what? Come Sunday, Lord willing, it'll all be done. And the following week, we'll be ready to move in. I got one more announcement for you. Now, I want you to pray about it. And I know we've thrown a lot at you. We are going to be putting a tent outside of the entrance of the church as you come in. And we're going to be growing a ministry out there. It's going to be in addition to what Brother Terry does. It's going to be a part of what Terry does under his leadership. But I want to ask you to do something. We really want to get families out there, not just a person. I know Brother Danny, you talked about being out there. It's so good with people. If you're friendly and nice, this is a ministry for you. If not, go back and study Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. We don't need any complainers under the tent. But here's what we want to do. We want a group of people out there with Sunday school brochures, with the doctrine of the church. We've got all this made up in pamphlets. And just to be out there and love on people. Some stuff about the school. But the primary reason is just be there to be a smiling, friendly face. And just to say, man, we're so glad you're here. I love what one brother said today, Stephen Baker. He said, you know what? If we can teach whoever's out there to learn one name a week, in 50 weeks, they'll remember 50 people's names. I thought, that's awesome. But here's what we're going to begin to promote as well. We're going to have T-shirts out there, water bottles out there. I don't know, all kinds of lighthouse stuff, books and whatever. And we're going to say this, every week it might be a little different, but to every 20th person, they're going to get a T-shirt. Or to every fifth person, they're going to get, that'd be a lot of counting and a lot of giving away. But to every, whatever the number is, we're going to just start giving stuff away and just loving on people and welcoming people. And so if you would pray about that, but also maybe you want to be a part of it. All right. For all of those that are smiling right now, we'd love for you to pray. Nah, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But just pray about that if you would. All right. We could use some help. Several families are already stepping up and saying, hey, I'll be on a rotation. I'd love to be a part of that. And I'd love to be out there and serve with my kids or my wife. And or I'd love to just serve in it, man. I love people. And shoot, I believe in what God's doing here at the church. And I'd be delighted to welcome people to be a part of it. You know, think about this. A visitor makes his mind up within the first 10 minutes as to whether they're going to even come back. And, you know, I love Brother Larry, your testimony. And Brother Larry has shared it with me. He said, you know, when I first came, I didn't have anybody. No one was friendly to me. But he came back and he came back. And finally, one person was friendly and it wasn't me. You know, no, I'm kidding. But it was a reminder of the importance of us being friendly to people. And let me just say this. I believe with all of my heart, we got the friendliest church in all of the area. I believe that. I believe that. And I know I'm biased maybe, but I believe it. I believe with all my heart, we've got some of the friendliest people at this church. And as a matter of fact, I just sat down with someone today. They were telling me how friendly this church is, but not just that, how real these people are. And man, that's awesome. Amen. Let us continue to be that. Praise God. Anyways, pray on that if you would. All right. Have a great night. Look forward to worshiping with you Sunday. Love you guys.